Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Amen. Please be seated. So I found a little snake in my yard yesterday, and I decided that was enough of interaction with snakes for one weekend. So I won't be preaching on the text from Numbers. Actually, I've been studying the Psalms. This has been a difficult Lent. I'm just going to put that out there. It's been a hard winter with too much to do and, especially today, not enough sleep. At times it has seemed like Easter and spring would never get here. But the study of the Psalms during this Lenten season has done the job of bringing me back to the one thing that I need the most, and that is some time with God. So today's psalm is very interesting to me. We only have a portion of it. It's a fairly long psalm. There are 43 verses. We'd still be chanting that one if we were chanting today. We read less than a quarter of those verses today. The first three verses form the introduction, which calls the redeemed from the four corners of the world to come and give thanks for the saving deeds that God has done. And then we also have one of four sections in the psalm that recounts a specific work of wonder that God has done to save some. So we don't get the other three, just this one. And the one that we get today, some were fools. I'm not sure why we get the fools in need of healing this week, unless it does fit thematically with the healing that occurs when Moses lifts up the snakes in the camp of the Israelites. Those other three groups of some that we didn't read today, those groups and their deliverance are also instructive. Some wandered in the wastelands and were hungry. God fed them. Some sat bound in darkness and were oppressed, and God set them free. Some were fools who sinned and became ill. God healed them. Some were tossed about in a storm at sea, and God brought them home to a safe haven. God's salvation is accomplished through specific acts of loving kindness. There's a wonderful Hebrew word for this everlasting loving kindness of God, this mercy that endures forever. The word is chesed, and it occurs again and again throughout the Hebrew scriptures. So if anyone tries to tell you that the Old Testament God is nothing like the God that we encounter in the New Testament, send them to me. Or if you have that feeling yourself, you come see me, because I love nothing more than to open up the scriptures and to find this chesed, this everlasting loving kindness, is a golden thread that weaves throughout all of our scriptures. And the reason that I can say that to you with such confidence is simple. God's eternal reality is revealed in the consistency of the wonderful works by which God brings about our salvation. The God of Psalm 107 is the same God who sent Jesus to us. In this psalm, God feeds the hungry, releases the oppressed, heals the sick, and calms a raging sea. Does any of that sound familiar? These are precisely the works of wonder that Jesus does when he moves among the people for whom he was sent. God's chesed is expressed in ways that are consistent across time and space. When the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they were fed and provided water miraculously. They were released from bondage in Egypt. They experienced healing, as we heard in the reading from Numbers. And God guarded and guided them, even using the sea to defeat their enemy, Pharaoh. And again, the Jews experienced God's chesed, his everlasting loving kindness, his mercy, when they were exiled in Babylon and when they returned. And we experience God's chesed today, often in similar ways. So I have a Lenten exercise for you this week. Consider well the times when God's chesed, his mercy, has provided food and drink for body and soul. Here in the Eucharist, at table with your family and friends, in unexpected places. Consider well the times when God's mercy has released you from bondage, maybe from the pain of past mistakes or the burden of someone else's dysfunction. Consider well the times when God's mercy, God's chesed, has healed you, relieved you of distress, whether it's in body or mind or spirit. Consider well the times when God's loving care has brought you to safe haven, when you've been guided into that relationship or that situation that lifted you up out of turmoil. This chesed, we might also call grace, as we talked about earlier. Grace, a gift from God. The structure of Psalm 107 indicates that it's a liturgical composition. The first three verses call the people together who have experienced God's acts of salvation, calls these people together to give thanks for the mercy and loving kindness that we've been shown. And each of the four sections that follow give us a glimpse of the kind of wonders the Lord performs. And each section follows a particular pattern. There is an account of the adversity. There's a cry to the Lord for help. And each time, that cry for help is identical. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Then the Lord's deliverance is described, and there's a summons to praise. And the summons to praise again, and each time is identical, and it forms a litany. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children. It is a liturgy. It's an order of worship. The worshipers are those who have lived through a story of salvation. They've been in trouble. They called for help, and God sent help, and they give thanks. Their worship is not just an exaltation of what God is like and typically does. It is a liturgy of thanksgiving for what God has done specifically in their lives. The individuals who have experienced God's chesed then comes together. They come together to be celebrants in the corporate act of worship, just as we come together to celebrate the chesed goodness, the grace and the mercy of the Lord our Redeemer. And God's grace and mercy are a matter of relationship to those who cry out for deliverance. And this relationship is based on the goodness of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God hears our cry for help, and we are redeemed. Our holy scriptures reveal God, who is always eager to save, always ready to redeem, and always willing to meet us in our need. And this is the time to recognize our desperate need for God. Here in the depths of Lent, We are desperate for the food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Desperate for release from bondage to sin. Desperate for the healing of our wounds. Desperate for a safe haven from the darkness that can surround and overwhelm us. Desperate for the light of day as the days grow longer. We come together today to celebrate the glorious reality of God's everlasting loving kindness for us in our desperate need. And we celebrate that chesed, as it is known to us in the sending of Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, bearer of our sins, Jesus, Redeemer of the world, came into the world by the grace and mercy of God and brings us peace. We're all celebrants in this worship, this sacrifice that we make of praise and thanksgiving. So let us give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and for the wonders that he does for his children, the wonders he does for us today and every day.